jumping for joy. Well, I've just recently made an observation, disturbing observation, and with it, a conclusion. In fact, so upsetting is my observation that I'm glad that you are sitting down as I share it with you. Are you ready? Well, here it is. Not everyone is thrilled with the idea that Christmas is almost here. There, I said it. Not everyone is giddy with excitement that it's only 13 days till Christmas is upon us. Now, some people are thrilled with this season. Merchants in particular, whether those of brick and mortar or those on the internet, they just love this season with our over-extravagant consumerism. Some depend on this season to make a profit for the whole year. Did you know that? Turkey farmers love this time of year as millions of gobblers get snatched up for heavy laden tables. And by the way, if you haven't got one, you better soon. They are running out. Many children are counting the number of sleeps until the big day, anxiously wondering if their letter made it to the North Pole, especially when they didn't put a stamp on it. Others, especially in this town, we just enjoy the lights. We love the music. We really enjoy best wishes from everybody that we run into. Still, there are some, maybe more than you think, who wish that they could sleep through this entire thing. I mean, who really wants to go with hundreds of other motorists to fight for that last parking spot at the mall? Who wants to endure long lineups of at bored and overworked cashiers just to get a gift card? Maybe that's why Gina is taking the time off right now to avoid that. How can we take just one more photograph of a terrified and screaming infant forced to sit on Santa's lap for that all-important Christmas photo? Now, I'm as sentimental as the next person. I want that Courier and Ives kind of Christmas with the fluffy snow and, you know, the eggnog and the carols sung by the fire. But I've never really experienced one of those, ever. And if we try and we create one and force others to get involved with our creation, it backfires and makes everybody miserable. How many of us experience this season this way? More akin to Clark W. Griswold in A Christmas Vacation than Mr. Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life. I love that scene at the near the end of Christmas Vacation movie, my favorite Christmas movie, by the way, where everything that could go wrong has gone wrong for that family. And Clark is at the end of his rope and he snaps at his family. And his father comes along and lovingly tries to correct his anger, his frustration in his son. He tells Clark that he's too good a father to have snapped like that, and the family all love him. And Clark replies that he just wanted a perfect Christmas for everyone. Then he goes on to say that the Christmases of his youth were such a mess. And he asks his father how he could cope with that. His dad agrees that the celebrations were a mess, and he coped with it with a little help from Jack Daniels. Mm-hmm. I was also drawn to something in another very familiar holiday story. You may have already seen it, and maybe you've seen it many times over the years, but something I had never noticed before. In the Charlie Brown's Christmas Story, Charlie Brown is out checking his mailbox for Christmas cards. He discovers that there is none in his mailbox. He laments the whole season, stating that nobody likes me. Why do we need a holiday season to emphasize it? Why indeed? Later on, Charlie Brown explains his feelings to his best friend Linus. I think there has to be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel. I just don't understand Christmas, I guess. I like getting presents, and I like sending Christmas cards and decorating the tree and all that, but I'm still not happy. I always end up feeling depressed. I too wish I wasn't so cynical, so bored sometimes, so unimpressed by what passes for celebrating Christmas these days. I also know full well that I'm not alone in my feelings. I hear it in the people's voices as they lament the pressure to go and get that all-important gift somewhere, or to book airplane tickets, or prepare the feast. Grandparents complain about how to strategically make it to each one of their children's home for the holidays without offending anybody. At the heart of my season of discontent, and maybe yours as well, is the realization that at some point in all of us, our best intentions, we use this season for our own self-gratification. We call this season the season of giving, but is it really? Think about it for a moment. Why do we endure those crowds at the mall just to buy that special gift in the hope that our loved one will be pleased with us? Why do we put on this big spread, this big feast, but to meet others' expectations? Why do we tell our small children to be careful what they do this time of year? Because Santa Claus is watching. Why? To give us peace for a few days. So manipulating have we become that our society is beginning to create mythology just to help us get what we want. Point of fact is something called Elf on the Shelf. Oh. We were warned a few years back by the Toronto Star that was talking about it. Now it's everywhere. Have you seen this thing? Do you know about it? Did you know that there's even a cereal based on it now? The idea behind this plush toy, this elf, storybook included in case you don't know, is that it's an elf sent from Santa to keep an eye on the children in a home. They are his spies, so to speak. And parents are instructed to move the elf around the house every night to give the illusion that the elf is alive and doing his work of spying on the children. Frankly, I find the whole thing creepy. It's manipulative, but it's selling like hotcakes. My point is this. Where is the joy in this season? Oh, sure, we express some happiness at giving and receiving things and seeing friends and family, but where is the pure joy? It should be behind it all. If Christmas is a celebration of Christ's birth, should there not be great joy in us? Even before he was born, those who were in contact with him were already expressing joy. Our gospel lesson today, where we read that Mary went to see Elizabeth. We further read that when Mary approached Elizabeth, John the Baptist, still a fetus himself, leaps for joy in Elizabeth's womb. Jesus was, before he was even born, was bringing joy to people. I think we're in real danger of letting our efforts to celebrate this season actually steal away from us the true gift of the season. Jesus was concerned about this, for in John 16:22 he said, "You will be joyful, and no one shall rob you of your joy." So maybe it's not actually being stolen from us, but rather our joy is being smothered by everything else. If we consider the joy of Elizabeth and Mary, what they experienced, and even the fetus John, we recognize that Christ's joy is not dependent on our circumstances. Mary was a young, unmarried peasant girl. who willingly accepted her role in the incarnation of Christ. It was not going to be an easy task for her. Simeon said as much to the young couple in Luke 2:34. Then Simeon blessed them and he said to Mary, "This child will be rejected by many in Israel and it will be their undoing, but he will be the greatest joy to many others. Thus the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and the sword will pierce your soul." You see, the joy of Christmas is much deeper. It goes much stronger than any circumstance that we're in or the world is in. As I hope I clearly showed earlier, sometimes popular culture, whether intentionally or unintentionally, provides us with a modern parable to communicate the deep issues of faith. Well, here's one that you probably know for you to consider. These words may sound very familiar to you. It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas perhaps means a little bit more. You know that many people don't realize, despite seeing this little animated television special every year, that Theodore Geisel, A.A. Dr. Seuss, Seuss was his middle name, by the way, was a man of a deep and abiding faith in Christ. Many of his quirky and beloved stories are actually really modern parables of the Christian faith. And nowhere is this demonstrated more than in The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. Dr. Seuss made sure the message was clear, that the Grinch, despite all his planning and all his deviousness, he was truly out of his depth. He had misjudged the nature of Christmas and what it truly meant. There's one thing, though, that the Grinch got right. At the very end of the story, when he realizes he cannot steal away the joy of the people down in Whoville, he decides to join into the joy. Christ has given us his joy, his spirit. Nothing can take it away from us. Furthermore, we are called on to let the world know about this precious gift. And here's the critical point. We want the world to see our joy, not to gloat over them or to make ourselves look more special than they are, but to spark a deep desire within them to join into the joy. When people see the joy we have without ribbons and without tags, they'll want what we have and they will want to join in. They will quit pursuing things that in the end never make them truly happy in life. And they will start following the one thing that can bring them true peace and true joy, namely Jesus. This Bible has several calls that extend that kind of invitation to all of us. We all know the parable in Matthew 5:15-16 about being lights, not being hid under bushels, but rather placed on a stand so that everyone could see. And then there's the Apostle Paul who wrote, "In everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing so that no one will speak a word of blame against you. You are to live clean, innocent lives as children in a dark world full of crooked and perverse people. Let your light shine brightly before them." So one wonders how we know if someone is truly joined into the joy. How do we know? Well, in Whoville, they say the Grinch's heart grew 3 sizes that day. And he brought back the toys, he brought back the food for the feast, and he himself, the Grinch, carved the roast beast. You see, when someone enters into the joy of Christ, they stop being a taker, as the Grinch was, and they become a giver, as the Grinch became. And more than that, you not only return the roast beast, you end up carving it. You end up becoming a servant, offering it to others. Acts 20:35 reads, "We should keep in mind the words of our Lord Jesus, who himself said, happiness lies more in giving than in receiving." As a who sits at the community feast, I am not there only to be served, but I am there to serve others. We need Jesus not only so he can give himself to us, but also so we can give ourselves to him and each other. We are called, you and I, to dwell among the who's. And as Robert Short points out, we need to ask for the identity of these who's. Who are the who's? To answer that, Dr. Seuss has this mysterious who's appear in actually another famous story. Did you know that? Horton Hears a Who is another one of his stories. Seuss believed that who's were the little people, the humble of the world, who leave lots of room for God in their life. Who's surely sound like Christians to me. Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without presence at all. In Isaiah 57, we find the Bible's description of those God longs to dwell with. It reads, "I dwell with him who is broken and humbled in spirit, the one for whom I regard as oppressed and afflicted, one who reveres my word." The Apostle Paul writes, "Rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Jesus even makes a promise to the who's of this world. "God blesses those who are gentle and lowly, for the whole earth will belong to them." The true people of God are the who's, the big and the small, people of grace and faith despite material loss. They are people who eagerly assemble as one to sing songs of praise. They are people who know that as long as we have hands to clasp, you can face anything. When the Grinch observes their demeanor and their faith in the face of devastating loss, he puzzles and puzzles until his puzzler was sore. And then he concludes, "Maybe Christmas," he thought, "doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more." I wonder if this word "world's puzzler" is even used anymore, let alone get sore. To contemplate us as we welcome the season, as we welcome the Lord, do they puzzle about us? I wonder if any heart really swells because of the joy that we express. The joy that Mary and Elizabeth and John experienced is what is lacking in most of our Christmas celebration. We hunger for the who's optimism and the unconquerable faith and love that Christ gives us. The simple answer and where it comes from is that it comes from Christmas. It comes from Christ coming to us. His coming means, first and foremost, a message of the unconquerable love of God that is given to all of us. It also means an invitation to all of us to enter into Christ's joy, to actively being among the who's in Whoville. It's an invitation to participate, serving, loving, and extending God's grace to all people. This is the gospel message. Dr. Seuss never hinted at the whole extent of what was in the hearts of the who's that day. But perhaps Luke 2, verses 10 to 11, resounded in the community of who's. And there we read this: "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, that which will come to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And that should be enough to make us all joyful.